Welcome to Real Romance, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Hey everybody, and welcome to another episode of Real Romance. I am Robert, also known as Bamfing Bob, and with me, as always, is the lovely Brittany.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about some really shitty movies.
Like, really bad.
Yeah. So, this theme... No, not theme mini. We already had our theme mini. If you haven't checked out Vampires vs. Werewolves, go do that. This themed episode of Real Romance is going to cover a lot of B and C...
Horror movies.
And I think the criteria was what? It has to be, like, over 10 years old or something. And it has to have a rating on Rotten Tomatoes under 50%.
But we bent the rules for one movie, specifically Killer Clowns.
Because it has a slightly above 50% rating. But it's one of those cult classics where it's so bad it's good. So I guess people rated it highly. So we're just going to jump straight into it. A lot of times we go to the movies and we enjoy them.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, that's how those work.
But every once in a while we go and it's just like a real disappointment.
True.
If you're going in knowing that they're bad, you kind of have a different mindset. We went into this with the mindset that they're probably going to suck.
And anything that was halfway decent was a surprise.
Pleasant surprise.
So, let's start this off with a movie called Bigfoot. It is a sci-fi TV movie, because if you're doing a B-horror movie podcast, you can't not have a sci-fi movie.
Like a really, really bad one. And this is a TV movie. It came out a year before Sharknado did. So this kind of gives you an idea of what Sci-Fi Channel was trying to go for as far as, like, special effects.
I don't think they were trying to have a Bigfoot spinoff.
No.
I mean, Bigfoot...
They weren't making it a franchise.
Spoiler alert, Bigfoot dies at the end of this movie, so I don't think
they're
going
anywhere. If
you
can really call him Bigfoot. But we'll get into that.
The movie stars Danny Bonaducci, Barry Williams, or Greg from the Brady Bunch, and then Sherilyn Fenn, who was in Twin Peaks, and then Bruce Davison, who I don't know anything about.
And apparently, Alice Cooper also cameos.
Yes, he does.
As himself. I've noticed Sci-Fi Channel...
Bro, Bruce Davison was in the X-Men.
Yeah, I know. He was Senator Kelly. He turned into a big glob in the first X-Men movie. See? I know things.
I didn't know.
Yeah, I recognized him immediately. That's because I saw the movie like 40 times when I was a kid. But anyway, the Sci-Fi Channel, I noticed not only with this movie, but with Sharknado and with Lavalantula and with a lot of their sci-fi big monster events, they pull a lot of really old TV actors that are kind of past their prime but are still looking for work, and they just kind of like throw them in as a gimmick.
I mean, those people probably are just looking to add on to their summer home. Oh. So, you know, an extra paycheck.
For sure. Just keep busy. Now, Danny Bonaducci actually did a lot of stuff with True TV. Like, he was a panelist for pretty much every show that
I
they have.
I feel like they were like, we need an extra panelist, a comedian, and so they just called Danny Bonaducci as like a, they were like, well, we just need someone.
He's like, I'm in. Like,
yeah, and he just pretty much did anything that was asked upon him.
He's like the Netflix of actors. He'll just greenlight anything. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying.
There's lots of actors like that, though, that are just like, whatever, I'll do it.
It's like, we're having a commercial. Let's call Shaq.
But anyway, let's get to this movie. So, the basic premise is that they are trying to have a music festival, and Danny Bonaducci's character is just... I mean, he's destroying the forest, essentially.
Right. The main characters, Barry and Danny Bonaducci, they used to be in a band together, and the band fell apart...
Because Barry didn't want to do the album, so...
And so Danny, like, you know, did his mom or something.
I don't know. Right? That's a running joke, and it was bad in the movie, and it's bad now.
And it's still bad. They find out that the forest is going to get mowed down, right?
Correct.
It's deforestation, and Barry is...
Is pissed.
He's trying to save it, while Danny's like, screw it, let's tear it all down to make room for this... This big concert.
This movie has to take place in, like, the Dakotas, right?
Because
at one point we see Mount Rushmore. We're assuming it's in the Dakotas, and it's in, like, the spring or fall
something. It's like the middle of fucking nowhere. Like, who has a music festival in the middle of
They can't
Dakota?
Get anyone to play it. Alice Cooper is the biggest name they've got, and even he's like,
this is lame.
No, I don't really want to be here, but whatever.
Much like this movie.
And... It freaking snows right before this concert, and I'm thinking, if it's cold enough to snow, why are we out here having a rock concert? I have some notes. about the concert.
You have so many notes. Now, granted, like, I took notes too, but my phone is dead, so I'm letting it charge. So we'll write off of your notes.
Okay, well, these are just, like, random things I noticed. Like, okay, so they go out, and they're activists, and they chain themselves to the work equipment. Keep in mind, it has just snowed. There is snow all over the ground, and they must live near North Dakota. And none of them are wearing hats or gloves, or proper winter clothes.
Because this was really filmed in California.
It's probably filmed in Canada, or Atlanta.
Somewhere cheap.
I don't know what timeline this is supposed to be, because it's 2012, and I distinctly remember smartphones being pretty big.
Yeah, but they all have, like, flip phones.
Every single one of them has a flip phone.
Maybe that's the budget at Sci-Fi Channel. They're just like, we're going to put all our money into the Bigfoot, and all you get are some Motorola Razors. And they're not even Razors. They're not even that good. Okay.
And when we finally see Bigfoot, he comes out of the woods to start killing these people with the construction equipment. Now, he kills, like, 20 people right away, right? So Bigfoot comes out and kills, like, 20 people at this construction site, and then they just kind of gloss over it like, there's no Bigfoot. Like, bro, how are all these people dead?
Okay, so here's where I stand on the Bigfoot. You remember when we saw Rampage with Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah.
And you remember how it was a gorilla who just got bigger and bigger?
Yeah.
Well, in the video game, George is a lot like this version of Bigfoot. If you played the game at all, you know, he's kind of like a small-ish King Kong type character.
Right.
But very, like, beastly. Not an ape so much as it is kind of just like a beastly Bigfoot type character. This was exactly like that. So when you think of Bigfoot, right, you think of maybe, what, 8-10 feet tall?
This Bigfoot was easily 16 feet.
Yeah, you know, 2 stories tall. Like, it was good for what it was. There was a lot of big smashing and fighting and fun deaths and things. But the CGI wasn't always there, but it definitely felt more like the Rampage version than it was an actual Bigfoot. And so that whole disconnect really threw me off.
Let's just talk about the lines of dialogue in this movie. This is a line I literally wrote down.
Bless they heart.
It says, "What happened to global warming? Looks like Mother Nature doesn't believe in science."
God.
And I wrote, like, at one point he equates Peter Pan as a fairy tale to not only Bigfoot, but to bears and deer, because those aren't real creatures, I guess.
Yeah.
Apparently. Some of this dialogue that I wrote down. Also, when they finally do get to the concert, Alice Cooper, after his set, is trying to promote his book on golf. Does he really have a book on golf?
I highly doubt it. I bet it's fabricated.
I thought that was funny.
All right, but anyway, blah, blah, blah. Bigfoot attacks and explodes.
He doesn't like rock music.
Oh, yeah. Fucking hates it. But, I mean, they live in Dakota. They have two types of music up there, country and western. And that is a joke from Blues Brothers.
Oh, no. Alice Cooper really does have a book on golf.
Shut the fuck up.
I just Googled it.
Golf Monster?
Yeah, it's a rock and roller's 12 steps to becoming a golf addict.
Well, now we know.
So I assume he did this movie to promote his golf book.
That is hilarious, actually.
You can buy it on Thrift Books for $3.99.
The more you know. Okay.
Free promotion.
So let's talk about the big scene at the end, because that was that's like the cherry on top of this sundae. Okay,
first of all, the CGI of Bigfoot is the worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, it's not the worst I've ever seen, but it's pretty bad
for no bigger budget than they had. Like, they literally didn't CGI anything else. They could have made Bigfoot look a little better.
Right, but there was like a, you know, there's a car chase and a police car, and there's
when Bigfoot walks through the water. You made note about how bad it was. The water doesn't even move.
Yeah, no, he smashes his foot into it, but it doesn't go like water does when you smash. It's just kind of like ripples. Like, his foot goes straight in and doesn't create any splash. And if he weighs tons, he would displace some water and, like, nothing happens.
The movie is Danny Bonaduce wants to either catch or kill Bigfoot so he can make money off right. of it.
It's a cash cow.
And Greg, aka Barry, wants to save Bigfoot. He is, and I quote,
because he's a part of the ecosystem.
I wrote this down. They call him the Jane Goodall of Bigfoot.
Yeah, it's bad. So it all comes to it, and they meet up at Mount Rushmore, because apparently, like, the Empire State Building was already taken by King Kong. So they're at Mount Rushmore, and I forget, why are they even there? I know they, like, climbed the top, like, Danny Bonaduce and Barry climbed to the top of Thomas Jefferson's head.
I don't to remember exactly how they chased Bigfoot there, but basically they were trying to lure... The black hunter guy was trying to lure Bigfoot out of his cave, whatever, and then somehow they ended up there. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
But they climb Mount Rushmore, and then there's a helicopter... Does the helicopter smash into Mount Rushmore, or does it shoot at Mount Rushmore?
No, remember, it blows them up. Everybody gets blown up.
Yeah, but was it, like, explosives, or was it, like, a crash? I can't remember.
I feel like it was explosives.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a hunter, and it's played by Andre Royo?
Don't know him.
I don't know. I've seen him in things, but, like...
Yeah, they blow up Mount Rushmore. I think it's Thomas Jefferson or Abraham Lincoln's face gets blown up.
Mm-hmm.
And Bigfoot dies, and they save everybody. But meanwhile, like, Bonaducci's, like, hanging off the edge of the cliff or something. Don't they both die at the end?
Yeah, when they blow up Bigfoot, they all die.
They all die. And so
the only one that lives is the sheriff lady, played by Twin Peaks, Sherilyn.
And so at the very, very end, they make a statue. And at first I thought, oh my god, they're going to put Danny Bonaducci on fucking Mount Rushmore, right? But no, they don't. They actually fix Mount Rushmore perfectly. House, I don't know. And they do a little, like, not a bust, but it's like a statue, a life-size statue of the two of them in front of Mount Rushmore, like,
yeah,
stealing the president's thunder.
It's bad.
It's so bad, but it's laughably bad. It's not like, it's just hilarious
this
bad.
This movie was full of bad references, including a saloon, and the town's name is Deadwood,
mm-hmm.
which is a reference, and then mm-hmm. the saloon is Dick's Saloon. It's just a bad name. I don't know if it's a reference or anything. Also, Bigfoot only eats people's heads.
They definitely make references to TV shows. I didn't watch a lot of Partridge Family, but I did watch a lot of Brady Bunch growing up. And when they said, that's what happens when you play ball in the house, I thought that was a really funny callback to when Marsh gets hit.
They keep referencing this Bigfoot data.
No, there's
no data. We didn't even know Bigfoot lived out here until
now. It's like all conspiracies, and then they're like, we have data. A lot like current events right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of bad jokes, and somehow this small town sheriff ends up in charge of, like, the National Guard and the military for a hot minute.
Because why not?
And it was just, it was bad.
Next, we're not even going to rate these, okay? The rating for all of these is bad.
How about in the end, we pick the least bad?
I think I can do that.
You can handle that?
I think I can handle that. Okay, so...
Let's do Blood Diner, and then I'll get my thoughts together on Killer Clowns, because I did not take notes on that one.
Blood Diner, we wanted to watch it because Brittany found a trailer for it.
And it looked funny.
It's so hokey. It's like it breaks the fourth wall. It's kind of a in-your-face thing. And the premise that they sell it on is it's a diner that sells human bodies. So they kill people, and they serve people at the diner. That's what they're trying to... That's
what
commercial
the trailer is.
Says.
Now, let me tell you, the movie is much different.
Much, much different.
But I was not disappointed. Not because, like, it was different, but it was still very funny. Now, when you think of a bad BC horror movie, you want to at least get some either a really good death and or comedy out of it. And I would say that this had both.
Right, because I'm not saying it's a good movie, because it's not a good movie. It sucks.
It's not. But
it is funny bad, yes. Kind of like The Room.
There's a really great disclaimer at the front, like, this is all done by professionals. So the movie...
Clearly not. I saw the movie. It was not made by professionals. I promise you.
So the movie opens... No, it's professional cannibals.
Okay, thank God.
Remember?
I was worried that the filmmakers were professionals.
The movie opens with this scene of these two kids, and their mom's like, hey, I have to run to the grocery store. Stay here. Lock the door. Don't let anyone in. And they're like, okay, mommy. And they're just playing with their toys and their Play-Doh and whatnot. And their brothers, who look nothing alike. But we'll gloss over that.
But she's in the car, and, like, on the radio, it's like there's a mass murderer on the loose.
Not her radio. The house radio.
Oh, the house radio. It's like there's this mass murderer on the loose, and he has, like, a hatchet in one hand and his genitals in the other.
Because somebody chopped off his...
And he's just
penis.
Running around, and he's causing mayhem.
And
well.
Meanwhile, the kid is trying to use his, like, Felix the Cat clock to hypnotize the dog to do stuff for them, which is really funny. And then you see the mass murderer come and start chopping away at their front door.
And he busts in the house.
And you're like, oh god, he's gonna kill these kids.
No,
he's
that's
their
just the uncle.
And he's like, you have to wake this Egyptian goddess lady. I don't even think I wrote down Sheetar. So he gives his nephews these amulets, and he's like, I failed to wake up Sheetar, and so in the future, you're gonna have to do all these things and wake me up and wake up Sheetar.
Alright, now first off, just starting off, isn't it funny how the villain's name is Shitter?
Robert, I didn't even notice that.
You write it out, it's like, Sheetar.
Why did you...
No, that's Shitter.
Stop. Okay, well, yeah, I didn't notice that.
It's all about emphasis on the spelled, right syllable.
It's spelled, I spelled it with an I, but it's spelled S-H-E-E-T-A-R.
Yeah, that's what I said, Sheetar.
Then it fast forwards 20 years into the future, so these boys are now adults.
And the uncle's been martyred by the police for some time now. He's been dead in the ground.
Yeah, they shoot him and he's dead.
Yeah.
And you see them digging up a grave. They bring their uncle's brain, not his head.
His brain and eyeballs.
Yes.
Specifically brain and eyeballs.
Back to life and put him in a jar.
Old-fashioned brain in a jar, but they also do it kind of like a puppet, so the eyes are, like, looking around and speaking to them, like, psychically.
Right.
Very weird.
They are...
they have to do a ritual to bring back Sheetar.
Stop. I'm still laughing about the name. I didn't put it together.
Okay, Sheetar. Yeah, eye system. Sheetar. Okay, so they have to do this ritual to bring back this ancient goddess of death. And
do they use the uncle? No, they can't use the uncle's eyeballs because it's been 20 years. They use that grave guy's eyeballs.
Oh, yeah, I guess they do.
They kill the, like, watchman.
Grave digger?
And,
grave guy?
Yeah, and they take his eyes and give him to the uncle.
But in order to bring back Sheetar, they have to go through and murder a ton of girls. And
quote-unquote, immoral slutty girls. And that's what they call them.
And they all have to be naked for some reason.
Well, because they're immoral slutty girls. They
go naked... What was it? Not Pilates. It was jazzercise or some shit, no, right?
It was cheerleading. Oh, remember? They were like...
Nude cheerleading.
Because they added in, like, gymnastics and stuff, and then some other cheerleaders added that, so now they're topless.
And so they're just jumping around, and all I'm thinking is, that must be uncomfortable. But they're jumping around, and they're mostly naked, and then the murderer comes in and just slaughters them all, and steals their random body parts.
Gotta cut off that booty.
Cut off the booty, legs, eyes, head, everything. And they build the perfect goddess out of the body parts, which, disgusting.
Okay, first off, nobody in this movie wears gloves. They own a diner. They don't wear gloves when they're touching
anything.
He literally picks a burger off the grill and doesn't, like, use a spatula. No, he just picks it up. The police don't wear gloves when they're touching bodies. You say, well, this is older. It's the 80s, okay? They knew about fingerprints then.
Yeah, the gloves should be, like, a standard. A thing.
The chief of the police, he has the most... What is the accent that the chief of police has going on?
I don't know.
But he's always punching his detective.
Yeah, he's, like, hitting her... Girls, too. Hitting them in the gut, pushing them over...
There's the two main detectives.
Dumb. It's really dumb.
The one brother is gay and is obsessed with Nazi wrestling, which apparently in the 80s was a homo sport. I don't know. That's just what they kept calling it in the movie. This one guy...
It would not fly today, for sure.
No, this movie was definitely homophobic. First off,
what was that guy's name?
Vitamin C.
No, Wrestler Hitler. What was his name? The wrestler's name is Jimmy Hitler, and his whole gimmick is he's dressed like a Nazi.
Nazi wrestling, I just told you.
It's so bad, but also so funny.
They're just like, they have this customer, Vitamin C, who keeps calling it homo sports. I don't know, whatever. But he also is just always eating there. Now, this is supposed to be a vegan diner.
How do you make it taste like meat? Because it's Soylent Green.
It's friggin' people.
It's people!
Because, as you can guess, if you only need one part from each person, you have a lot of extra parts left over, right? Now, they don't take all the parts, but they do take quite a bit of the parts, and they're trying to get these people addicted to this stuff so that they can do this big feast, because that's important to raising Sheetar, too. You don't need to know why that's important. It just is. It's what they said. This movie was so dumb.
Yeah, but the deaths were fun.
It was hilarious.
There were some really good ones. They slice a guy in half. No, they hit a guy with the van. They run him over.
Over and over
again. And then he gets up. And he backs up and runs over him. what, like 10 times?
Must be.
At least 10 times.
He doesn't even die. He ends up dying later.
Well, it's like a heart attack or something.
Yeah, but those
it's so ridiculous.
I have my personal two favorite deaths.
Okay.
Are the one that, so they go to this club, and this guy's like throwing a fit about letting them in. And so they literally just throw him in front of a car that runs his head over.
And so they're like, okay, you can go inside. And no one bats an eye.
And they're just like, hey, buddy, are you okay? His head full on gets crushed by this lowrider.
Yeah. And it's like, no, and it's, they make sure to see that it has hydraulics and it's so bouncing it's up and down and it just bounces
right on
onto
his head.
The head. And then they're like, huh, have fun in the club. Like, what the hell, man?
My second favorite death is, for some reason, he goes out to get another slutty girl to complete Sheetar.
Are we talking about the cave scene?
The cave scene.
Oh my god.
So, he, like, knocks the boyfriend unconscious. Why he doesn't, I guess they don't kill men unless it's on accident, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he fights this girl, and she, like, straight up, she's naked. Full like, bush out and
full
everything.
Full beaver.
And she just is fighting him off, and she almost gets away, and then a stalactite just falls out of the ceiling and right through her head.
Yeah, no, she gets lucky over and over. Like, she's kicking his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, the best accidental death scene ever. And he's like, oh, take what you can get, right? Like,
right. Now, they keep mentioning this Sheetar person, and they're like, there hasn't been a Sheetar festival or...
Since 3 million BC.
No, 5 million years ago. Bro, there weren't people 5 million years ago. So
open a science book, y'all. If you're going to write a shitty script, at least, like, don't screw it up that hard.
You could have at least been, like, 5,000 years ago.
Yeah, ancient Egypt. Something. Prehistoric civilization that is still within, like, 10,000 years or something.
Another really funny death was, so they bring these two girls back from the club. They
them
back to their
and they're gonna
their
get
diner.
Frisky.
Yeah, or frisky. And the one girl... Sorry, sucks to be her. She's playing a game where they're covering her in batter, and she thinks it's a fun, sexy game.
Yeah.
But then he dips her head.
Deep fries her head. But, no, okay.
Like a hush puppy.
Yeah, it's not like her head is covered. It goes in and then comes out looking like a deep fried head. It looks like a basketball. Only it's way bigger than an actual basketball.
And so she's running around with her deep fried hush puppy head.
And then they like chop it off and it like rolls into the other room.
He just whacks it and it falls off. The other girl sees it and she almost gets away. But then she's like, my purse! Runs back in for her purse, immediately drops all the contents of her purse.
I'm sorry, if my best friend just died, I wouldn't be like, eek, my credit cards, I'd get the hell out of there. But no, and it's not just like it dumps out and she's trying to get it. Like, it's like a cartoon, like, whoa.
Yeah.
And she's like fumbling with it, trying to fill her purse up. Like, what am I gonna do? It keeps falling out. And I'm like, you dumb bitch, just get out of here or you're gonna die. And it turns out she dies.
Yeah, well, down the street, there's also a vegan restaurant. I don't know where they live.
And
but...
the guy's a ventriloquist and his puppet is apparently, like, super codependent.
And he just has his puppet there all the time.
Yeah.
Flirting with the customers. It's super weird.
So, Skippy, 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 Sheetar comes back to life. They're in a big club, and she's like, I'm gonna murder them all. And
right.
She uses, like, her lightning finger powers to, like, explode people, I guess. And she has, like, this weird stomach... teeth. Okay, so like from mid-breast down to like, you know, below her navel or something.
There's just teeth.
It's just like a big giant slit covered in these big giant dragon type teeth. And it's eating people directly into the stomach. And they have to get a virgin in the story.
Yeah.
So that her first meal can be a virgin.
Right.
And so she's standing next to this lady who's tied up. She's clothed, though, because she's a virgin, right?
Right.
But she's tied up, and everyone's running around getting shot and dying, and she's shooting with her lasers.
Yeah, because they were all eating. So this is how they got them all to participate in this human flesh feast. They gave the club, quote-unquote, drugs, which look like gumballs, do they not?
Yeah, but they're essentially just appetite increasers.
Yes. I get why the club hands out drugs, because it's clearly a corrupt club. But why are they like, oh, these... It says appetite increasers on the bottle.
Yeah.
Does no one know how to read?
And I have never been so hungry that I was like, human. Like, never in my life has that, like, been a thing. But they all get into a frenzy and they're all eating each other and the cops break in and they end up releasing the virgin. But unfortunately, one of the brothers actually ends up getting stomach eaten by a shitter.
Right. The one that is gay. That's important because clearly back then gay was not as accepted. So he is also
a virgin. And so Shitar is now like
alive
and kicking and riding around with her whole tummy mouth exposed. But nice cans, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I do like, there's a couple other things I liked. There was when they suck the blood out of that guy with some like little vacuum contraption and it just turns him into a mummy because that's how that works. Mm-hmm. And then the guy who loses both of his hands / arms and he's just driving around, and that was a hilarious scene.
Yeah, and the guy who always comes to the restaurant, he like throws up all over everybody like Exorcist style, and then he's like, I have to fill back up. Let's eat some more.
Yeah.
Overall, terrible, horrible movie that we got a really big kick out of.
I thought we were laughing the whole movie.
It was funny, but bad funny, not good funny.
It was not good funny.
It was not good funny at all. Also, except for I noticed this, except for the Science Fiction Channel, like, original Bigfoot, like, every one of these is very, nude heavy. Because that's like, a big selling point for a lot of these B and C horror movies. It's like, what we lack in, like, substance and real content, we give you some nudity, so...
I don't think there was nudity in Killer Clowns.
I think there was.
Was there?
I think there was. Mm. I think it was scaled down quite a bit because they focused more on the clowns themselves, but I do think there is a sex scene at some point.
Let's move on to that movie.
Okay.
So basically what happens is there's some weird meteorite looking thing.
And it crash lands very early in the movie.
Correct. So there's a couple that were out at Lover's Lane and they're like, let's go check it out. Meanwhile, a farmer and his dog also go check it out. So when the farmer and the dog get to this place where this meteor land, it's like a tent, a circus tent. And they're like, what the hell? And then a clown comes out and captures the dog. And the farmer's like, I'll kill you. Give me my dog back. Because he loves only this dog. And good for him. But him and the dog both turn into cotton candy popsicles.
Yeah, like cocoons. Now, tell me, are these normal clowns?
No.
They are killer clowns.
Killer clowns.
From outer space. And so
with K's. All spelled with K's.
All with K's. So they don't look like normal clowns. They look like cartoon clowns brought
giant.
To life.
They're giant.
All parts of their body, their hands, feet, hips, but especially their heads and faces are very large, almost like if you're going to make a big foam cutout of something, mm-hmm. as goofy as possible. That's what it looks like, and every design for every clown is different, so it's not like the race, they all look exactly the same.
No, but they're all clowns.
They all look like they're from the same race of goofy clowns, kind of like Who's from Whoville, right? Correct. They're different, but you can tell they're all Who's.
Mike and Debbie, the two main characters.
I don't remember their names.
Well, I'm looking at their names.
I know it.
And they get to this circus, and Debbie's like, let's go inside. And so they go inside, and they're like, this is weird. And then they find...
That's suspicious.
Then they find the farmer in
the cocoon.
Yeah. And they're like, whoa, what the hell? We gotta get out of here. So the clowns chase them out of here, shooting popcorn at them with a bazooka. The popcorn gets in Debbie's bag, and that matters later.
And it's all over the place. Like, the popcorn gets stuck in hair. And so they go to the cops, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, cops! We found a dead guy out in the middle of the woods in a mystery tent, and I think there's clowns trying to kill people.
Now, the one cop is Debbie's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah.
The other cop is this older dude who thinks that everything's a hoax. Because it's like Halloween, right?
Yeah.
It's Halloween, all these teenagers and college students, everything's a hoax.
Like Hubie Halloween, but real life with alien clowns.
Less fun.
A little bit less fun. A little bit more murdery.
Well, less funny. The cop is less funny.
Oh, yeah. The cop is dead ass.
The deputy guy, Dave... He's like, well, let's drop Debbie back at home and we'll go out and find this place. And they get there and the circus tent is gone and there's just a large crater. And he's like, the hell? But then they get to Lover's Lane and all the cars are full of cotton candy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, and it's just bright pink.
But it's all over the cars. It almost looks like spider webs, right? It's kind of like stretched between everything.
Yes. And meanwhile, back in town, the clowns are just capturing people willy-nilly in cocoons using these toy ray gun looking things.
Yes.
I mean, all their stuff looks like toys.
Right, and the effects definitely look very, like, hokey. Like, they'll shoot it and it's like, pew, pew, but they're, like, drawn on.
I mean, they leaned into it hard, so. Yeah,
it's very, cartoony.
The clown deaths are very funny. Like, the one, it literally... Now, the clowns have to have been watching us for a while because they fake delivering a pizza. And then they, like, just knock on people's doors and it just works. At one point, they try to kidnap this kid. She's just in a diner with her family and they're just like, come here.
Yeah, like, outside the door, just, like, standing there super creepy.
I'm just thinking, like, when I was a child, no, I would never.
What do you mean, like, a child? 5 years ago, there was killer clowns running around all over the place and it's terrified everyone. If I saw, even as an adult, if I saw a clown being like, come here, I'd be like, 911.
I don't answer the door now, and I'm an adult.
I would totally call the cops.
At one point, they use, like, shadow puppets to shrink and catch a whole
group
of people.
That was fun. He's, like, making different shapes with his hands that are, like, totally unrealistic and impossible with actual shadow hands.
Especially his big, clunky, like, two-finger hand.
Isn't there, like, a T-Rex or something that he makes?
Yeah. The bag of popcorn is full of sentient popcorn that eats people.
Yes.
And that's
because that's a thing.
Yeah, the popcorn that was in her purse and stuff tries to eat them later.
By the end, they get to, like, the spaceship, right?
No, the funniest part is when the one police guy, he arrests not only these team pranksters, but a freaking clown.
Yeah.
He puts him in jail, and he's like, this is gonna end well. And then the clown uses him as a ventriloquist dummy, which is really funny.
Yeah. No, but how does it end, right? Because I know they all get in the tent and fly away at the end, right?
Do you remember the clown's weakness? If you shoot their nose, they explode.
I missed that. I think I might have been dozing off near the very, very end. But I do know that they, like, explode.
Well, so Mike and Dave and
other people we don't know the names of.
Yeah, and Debbie, and then the weird ice cream truck people. There's a pair of brothers that own an ice cream
truck. Oh, yeah, no, and their whole gimmick is that they ride around trying to pick up chicks with their ice cream truck.
They all end up at the clown circus trying to save Debbie because Debbie gets captured. They witness, like, the clowns, like, drinking people's blood out of the cocoons, and for some reason... Now, everyone else in town has been put in these cotton candy things.
But not our main characters.
No, Debbie's in a balloon, and she's still alive. We can't save anyone in the cotton candy, but if you're in the balloon, you're still alive. So there's, like, a whole maze, and they're just trying to get through the maze of the clowns that are trying to kill them. But the clowns aren't very fast. Do you remember the one guy that they, like, covered him and turned him into an ice cream sundae?
No.
That was really funny.
Is when they get to that final scene with the tent, they go in one car. How many clowns come out of this fucking car?
Like eight.
No, more than that.
A lot of clowns.
There's like 20 clowns. It's like they do like cut editing and they just keep coming out from all the doors, from the trunk, everywhere. And
there's
I'm like,
a lot of clowns.
I'm like, that is some grade A clown humor right there.
They think that the dudes explode because they blow up the ice cream truck at the end. Then there's a giant clown. Mike and Debbie get out, and the sheriff guy, he has to fight the giant clown, but he ends up popping the clown with his police badge. He pops its nose. Ta-da! The ice cream brothers hid in the freezer, so they're fine. That protects against explosions because it's cold. And they're like, here's some ice cream.
Scarier clown, the giant one from this movie, or it?
Well, it's a scarier clown.
Trick question, it isn't even a clown.
Well, neither are these.
Suck it. Yeah, they're aliens, I guess.
They're aliens.
So, and double trick question, no clowns.
These are easier to destroy because all you have to do is pop their nose.
I'd be running around with these haymakers like, bop, bop, and just, you know.
One good boop, clown dead. But they're like all upset about their ice cream truck. They're like, it was a rental. But yeah, the main villain at the end is Jojo the Clownzilla, which he's a marionette clown. And I think that's really funny.
They're all very over the top and silly.
I heard that Sci-Fi acquired the rights in 2018 to make a sequel. we might be seeing Killer Clowns too.
Oh, I'm ready for it.
I liked it.
Well, it's like we just saw Bigfoot. If they do any half as good on this one as they did on Bigfoot, it's gonna suck. But yeah, on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like at a 55 or 58%, and it's barely over. And we were just like, I've always wanted to see this terrible movie ever since. Like, I remember seeing the movie at like Blockbuster, and I'm like, that looks fun. And Mom's like,
it's actually at a 75%.
Shut up. There's no way this damn movie's at 75% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm not lying to you.
Oh, it's 6.2 on IMDb. Yeah, that is.
It's got a 59 audience score.
Okay, so I think that's probably what I was pulling from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember going to Blockbuster as a kid and seeing it. And my mom was like, "No, you can't watch that one. I'm sorry." And
I think like, my parents probably would have let me watch it, but I just never showed any interest into it because I'm not as old as you.
Because you have good taste.
I'm not as old as you.
So we have two left.
The next one we watched. Now we tried to make sure that we did a varied amount. So we did one fairly old movie, we did one sci-fi movie, we did a cult classic, we did just a random oldish horror movie that looked good, and then we did this one, which was a blockbuster called Jason X, otherwise known as Jason Goes to Space.
Also known as The Worst.
Let's talk about the opening. It opens into hell, or at least you think it's hell, which is where Jason would have been at the end of the last movie, but it's really just the inside of Jason.
Yeah.
And we find out that some Crystal Lake research facility, which I guess when campsites weren't turning out, they were like, let's open a research facility.
Now, granted, I have not seen all 9 of the previous Jason movies, but I got a pretty good idea that this has nothing to do with any of them.
I've seen several of them. Okay. But I don't...
But at the beginning of this one, it's already set in the future. So Jason X came out in 2001, and I believe that this movie is set in like 2040 or something at the very beginning, right? It's
something
it's
like
several
that.
Decades later, and Jason Voorhees is still alive somehow, and he's being kept in this facility at Camp Crystal Lake. I'm sorry, Crystal Lake
Research Facility. Basically, they're going to cryogenically freeze Jason.
Right, because they tried everything. They've tried shooting him, killing him, dismembering him, everything, and nothing works, because apparently there's something in his DNA that keeps him from dying.
Now, Jason is heavily chained up.
Yeah, and he's like hung kind of like a like meat in a freezer.
Now, some guy covers his face up. Now, on the outside, there's the research lady. She's like talking to the sheriff who wants to study Jason. She's like, you can't move Jason. He'll kill everybody. And they go in and they see him. Now, he looks exactly the same, but when they pull off the cloth, it's the other guy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Now, this means that not only did Jason have to get out of his chains, but get undressed after he killed the dude and redress in the guy's clothes and dress that guy in his clothes.
Immediately, it's like his middle name is Houdini. It's like how that's some real magic right there.
Regeneration aside, that doesn't make any sense.
Right. So he's down off the chain and he's like, I'm Jason Voorhees. And he goes around like killing everybody.
Correct.
Right.
Like and so Wolverine.
It comes down to the final girl.
And she manages to get him into a cryogenic chamber, freezes him, but not before he stabs his machete through the door into her. But because it's compromised, they both get cryogenically frozen.
Right. And so the whole room is basically on ice for the next 400 years.
Correct. Now it jumps into the future.
It's like 2450 or 2500.
Something like that.
Something several. And
2455.
Okay. And they're floating around in space because Earth got totally ravaged, right?
They're not in space. They're still where they are. There's a team of teenage researchers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
That come and get them.
This makes no fucking sense, y'all.
So, first of all, they're cryogenically frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 400 years later.
Of course.
How is there still power if no one is left on Earth?
It's solar powered. Boom.
Okay.
Fixed it.
Question two.
Shoot.
Why would you have an entire team, almost entirely composed of teenagers, salvaging pieces of the Earth?
Because teenagers get stuff done. Haven't you seen Power Rangers? Come on. Teenagers are the secret to life.
So they take both of these people onto their spaceship, and they're like, we can save her. She's in really good condition. We just have to fix her side. And I'm
meanwhile, Voorhees, who has, like, super healing powers, they're like, nope, he's dead.
They fix her with what they call ants, which are just like...
They're like nanobots, like in Bloodshot.
They look more like ticks than ants to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but they kind of crawl out, and they heal all the tissues in the body and everything. And she comes back. But there's definitely a lot of different teenage scientist characters on this rig. Some of them are super serious, but most of them are full of it and flippant and self-obsessed. Also, let's talk about the fashion in this.
What are they thinking
in 500, 400 years?
So this one girl's wearing a t-shirt and a sweater, but it's not like a full sweater. It's like a vest that's a turtleneck that she's cut like the entire arms off of the sweater. I don't know how better to explain it. The other girl's wearing two Renaissance shirts that she's cut apart, sewn together in the back, and then pinned together with giant safety pins in the front.
But there's like nothing underneath, so it just kind of looks like a reverse suit.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing underneath. It's just like covering up her boobs on either side. And there's one guy and he's a stoner.
Yeah, he has a mullet, but not just a mullet. He has dreads. A dread mullet. So she's awake and she knows Jason is going to wake up and she like doesn't tell them this. She's freaking out.
She's like, Jason Voorhees is who we studied. Meanwhile, the one adult who's on this whole place, he gets in touch with the guy who's in charge. And he's like, we're not giving you any more money, right? You have to find us something good or else we're not going to give you any more funding.
And he's like, I have Jason Voorhees.
They're like, what? Jason Voorhees?
A lot of people would pay money for that.
And he's like, fuck you. I'm keeping him so that I can pay for my rig, right?
His student loan debt.
Yeah, he's going to keep Jason Voorhees as a pet.
Meanwhile, the one lady is dissecting Jason for some reason. She takes out his eyeball.
And that is weird.
I don't know why. And then there's all these random weird sex scenes thrown in here. There is a dude and his sex robot, which is apparently like part of his like thesis or something.
Yeah, he built her, but detachable nipples, I guess.
No, she doesn't have nipples. She's trying to put nipples on, and he's like, you don't need nipples.
And they just kind of like fall off of her, boop, bloop.
And then there's the other normal couple that is just teenagers having sex, which is whatever, but...
And meanwhile, they're like trying to like figure out what's going on with Jason Voorhees and the survivor chick or something, and they're over here like, like getting frisky with each other.
On the body!
And they're like, just leave. Just leave. If you're gonna be like this, you're distracting everyone. Just go and come back, because we can't deal with you being distracting right now.
And then there's the adult, the teacher, that's having sex with the student, but it's just not normal. Like, they have this pair of tongs.
Yeah, it's like some BDSM, like...
But the weirdest BDSM I've ever seen. Not to shame anybody, but this is not
good. It's not normal, y'all.
She's just taking the tongs and twisting his nipples.
Like, I hope they don't come off like the robot lady.
I don't know. Like, it seems super inappropriate because this is his student.
This is super inappropriate.
And
as a movie, specifically. Just Jason X is extremely inappropriate.
So, of course, Jason wakes up. They start killing everyone. He does kill that one lady in the cryo liquid, which is pretty fun. He like shoves her head in it and then
smashes her with a hammer.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. It's kind of like deep frying, but different.
And then basically Jason just proceeds to kill everyone because they were having sex on the ship, I guess.
That's how he do.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't say what his motivation is, and then it doesn't really matter.
But he kills a few of them, and then in the end, they kill Jason Voorhees, which is great.
Can we talk about the scene, though, where he kills the guys in the simulator? So he goes to them, and he kills them, but they're not dead, and they're just like, what? This is a weird simulator. Let's turn it off. And then it turns out they were just in a simulator, and then he snaps the one guy's in half. So it's the future, but even the future has bad CGI in their simulators.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they kill him. The robot lady gets an upgrade.
Yeah, and she just takes out Jason Voorhees. But rather than, like, just jettison him into space or something... They put him on the repair table. You remember, Brittany mentioned it a second ago, the ants or the ticks or whatever that come and heal your dead body? Yeah, that table.
And for some reason, it doesn't just heal him. It gives him a super metal...
It's an upgrade.
Yeah, and it gives him a hockey mask.
But a weird metallic Deathstroke kind of hockey mask.
Regardless of the other stuff, they're designed to regenerate human, like, flesh type.
Yeah, it doesn't reconstruct clothing.
Why does it give him a metal hockey mask?
Because it's good for the movie poster.
This movie is just Among Us. I mean, everyone knows Jason's the imposter, and no one wants to call an emergency meeting to vote him out.
And he says, hey, I think it was Jason Voorhees. Jason sus. And then Jason's over here like, you've been killed. Damn it!
Then, so in order to escape, because their ship is at this point going to blow up, they are going to get into this other rescue ship that is coming for them. But they have to get the doors open. So the one guy has to spacewalk to get the doors open. Meanwhile, they have to distract Jason. So apparently they have a digital file of Camp Crystal Lake. For some reason.
And then they send Jason there, and there's these two girls.
Using the robot head, because that's all that remains of her.
Yeah.
And she's still alive, because she's a robot, so it's all good.
Yeah, you can't kill a robot.
Yeah, so what does Jason do with the two girls? They're like, let's have sex. We love sex.
Let's smoke a doobie.
So he puts them in sleeping bags and bangs them against each other, which is the funniest scene in the movie.
It is so funny. But my main thing about this is, he does not resemble Jason by the end. Over the course of the series, you can argue that Jason and the Friday the 13th series is pretty hokey, right?
Yeah.
It's trying to get cheap kills and things.
I mean, let's be honest. How many movies about Jason can you make before it gets ridiculous?
Well, I mean, Freddy vs. Jason was different.
I liked Freddy vs. Jason.
And the first few Friday the 13th, okay, these are fun and interesting. But you can only have so many sequels until things start feeling forced. And this was so forced. This was like a fart that got forced so hard you end up shitting your pants.
If we'd wanted to watch a more traditional movie, we could have done Freddy vs. Jason, but...
But we're supposed to be watching bad
movies. No, I mean, that movies. That is like... It's got like a 37. Also bad.
Shut... No. Well, okay. I guess I was thinking of Killer Clowns. I was about to say, no way Jason X is rated higher than Freddy vs. Jason. But
It's 25.
Ah!
Or 20, my bad.
20.
20%.
Okay. Definitely lower than Freddy versus Jason. So, I mean,
and then basically at the end, Jason lands on Earth 2 and can start the cycle all over again. Because you know he's not dead.
But he doesn't resemble himself at all. It doesn't tie into the earlier movies at all.
It was supposed to be like a reboot, right?
I feel like this movie should not have been in the Friday the 13th Jason franchise at all. I don't even think they mention Friday the 13th at all in the title. It's just... Jason X.
Yeah.
Right? Just that, I don't think this falls in line with the rest of the movies. It's its own thing, and they could not have referenced Jason Voorhees or Camp Crystal Lake or anything.
Yeah, they literally could have made it its own movie.
Yeah, they could have just made him a random serial killer with super healing and gone from there, and it would have been the same.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
So, let's move on to probably the most ridiculous movie we watched.
The premise of this is the most ridiculous. It's called Deathbed.
The Bed That Eats.
Now, we'd heard about it. Patton Oswalt actually did a comedy-like segment on this movie and how ridiculous it is. And I was like, at some point in my life, I have to watch The Bed That Eats. He calls it the Bed That Eats People, which is also accurate, but not the name of the movie. So we found it, and we watched it.
You can watch this movie for free on Tubi, if you would so choose.
If you have a smart TV, sign in as a guest, watch it on Tubi. Be prepared for some ridiculous, weird stuff.
The movie opens with just, like, black and a weird crunching noise.
For, like, a minute.
That you'll hear for the rest of the movie pretty much off and on.
Like an apple.
It literally sounds like that. There is just so much ridiculousness. It's also broken up into three sections. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Though the sections don't really make any sense.
Exactly. It's just like, oh, it eats meals. Like, no, it just... Do they do anything? Do they accomplish anything?
I guess not. Not really. So no. It opens up with this couple who, for some reason, have hiked to this mansion. And they can't get into the main mansion. So they end up in this little, like, servant's quarters, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Or cellar, where the bed is.
Now, this bed is immaculate,
It's
right?
a beautiful bed.
It's a four-poster bed. A very large king size with velvet sheets. It's very, very fancy. Very inviting.
Now... The bed can laugh.
Well, the bed can eat, too.
And there's a dude behind the painting that spends the whole movie narrating.
Okay, some background on the painting. There was a guy, an artist, who makes the painting,
mm-hmm.
and somehow he gets trapped inside the painting?
It's the bed's punishing him. It doesn't make any sense.
But throughout the movie, like, they show this guy on the other side, and they frame it so that it's kind of a clear window with the rough... like painting painted on the other side.
It's like one of those two-way mirrors.
And he's just like staring out at the bed, narrating the whole thing.
Now, I thought something was weird is they got a different guy to do the voiceover than actually sits behind the painting. This woman and this man, he's clearly wanting to get down. And she's just kind of... I don't really know what she wants. Because at some point she's like, yeah, let's do it. And then other points she's like, no, I'm really hungry.
It's like sex, but what about the picnic?
And so he gets her, like, topless, but then she's like, I'm hungry. And so he pulls out the picnic stuff and sets it on the bed, and then they start making out.
And he's like, that's weird, because it's starting to miss things. Like, the food is, like, half eaten, right? There's an apple.
So the bed pulls all the food into it using a weird yellow foam, like bubbles.
Okay.
And it crunches the apple, which is a normal sound, but it also crunches the chicken. Now, this is a bed that eats people, and when it eats people, it spits the bones out in the yard.
But it makes crunching, which means that it's not...
For some reason, it puts the chicken bones, back in the bucket, spits them back out on top of the bed.
Here's what gets me moving forward about this movie, okay? So the effects they use for things falling into the bed is a weird yellowish bubble acid type look, right? And then when it's getting eaten, it flashes to the things or the people in a kind of a swimming pool of yellow liquid, and they act like they're getting eaten alive, kind of like acid. But it continually does this crunching. There are no teeth. There is no actual crunching involved. It's just like, if it was going to be acid, a vat of acid, that would make sense to me. But then they add in the crunching for what reason? Like I said, there's no teeth, there's no bones being broken, it's just eating them alive.
Meanwhile, this couple's making out on the bed, and this man has set down a candle on the floor, I guess to make it romantic. Now, it is the tiniest candle, it is barely a step up from a tea-like candle.
Yeah, it really is.
And he lights it, for some reason. And they keep flashing, like, the cinematography in this was so weird. Like, why do they keep looking at the candle? And the picnic basket.
Yeah, the framing of the shots are very weird. It's very indie, very 70s, very grainy.
I don't know. It was weird.
It was so weird.
It was in 1977.
But anyway,
it eats them.
They get eaten. And then it talks about how over the course of many years, multiple different people have come across the bed and owned the house and blah, blah, blah.
The bed was too stupid to know to go have someone move it to the city. Rather, it just kept eating people because it's quote-unquote greedy and idiotic is what he calls it.
And so the bed that eats is too stupid to show any restraint, like let it sleep in the bed a few times and then eat it, right? No, it's just like first time, crunch, and then it's fucking dead.
What was really funny is that they had these newspaper articles flash up about people disappearing. Now, all they changed was the headline.
So it's the same photos, the same dates, the same, all the other parts of the newspaper are exactly the same on four different newspapers, but they changed the headline itself. And it's stupid headlines. It's like, people missing. Weird crunching sounds in middle of woods.
Bro, do you know you can buy this movie on Blu-ray disc?
They wasted the Blu-ray disc on this?
And it says, lost horror film from the 70s. Deathbed earns its rightful place in the annals of 1970s midnight cult cinephilia, alongside such film as Eraserhead, Pink Flamingos, and El Topo.
Well, I've heard of Eraserhead.
And I've heard of Pink Flamingos.
Never heard of El Topo.
But they have it in high def. I feel like we missed out. We could have watched it in high def.
I don't want this in high def.
I wonder how expensive it is.
It's too expensive. Regardless, 50 cents at the garage sale is too expensive for this freaking movie.
So
I want a refund for my free movie on this.
God, it's $16 plus shipping on eBay.
I'm saying.
So the main,
what a waste.
The main story is these three girls out in the woods. They are supposedly going out to visit this mansion. They're going to get away for the weekend. Now, it's very clear, even though it doesn't say it explicitly, but the two girls in the front seat are lesbian lovers. Now, it's the 70s, so even though they were okay being that, they probably weren't out.
And they probably weren't saying anything, like, explicitly in the movie
because of that.
Reasons. But they were definitely together.
And this other girl, Susan,
she's a third wheel.
She's invited herself along. Now, when they get there, the bed has destroyed the mansion with no rubble left over. None of that. He just destroyed it because he's a dumb bed, according to the guy behind the painting.
He's a stupid dumb bed.
Now, we later find out that the bed was created when this girl had sex with a demon who was in love with her. It accidentally killed her, thus creating an evil bed. So now, the demon is trapped in a tree, and the girl is trapped in a half-death sleep in a coffin. And her whole family was later eaten by the bed. we don't know why the bed eats things. It doesn't really. It just says that's how it was
created. That's the premise of the movie. That it doesn't need a response. It says, "What is your movie about?" It's a death that eat. It's a bed that eats people. Okay, why?
Also, who cares? The bed is a pervert.
What a pervert.
It likes to take people's clothes off.
And there's, like, multiple scenes of it just, like, making girls noises. Topless and saying, mmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then
you fucking perv.
The one girl, not Susan, the other white girl, because there's a black lady and a white girl. I don't remember their names. They're not important.
Nope.
But she has a brother that's looking for her because apparently she has a mental illness. I don't know. It just says...
You have to star in a movie called Deathbed, Bed That Eats.
It just says that. And so he's looking for her, and this dude has the biggest unibrow I've ever seen on a movie star. Like, bro, yeah. You're in a movie.
You can ride that thing like Rainbow Road. No freaking joke.
So, Susan is laying in the bed while the other two are foraging. I don't know.
I found my berries.
I guess. They're looking for the mansion that they're supposed to be here, but is no longer here.
Yeah.
So, Susan is having nightmares because apparently the bed
has... Yeah, when you sleep in the bed, it gives you visions.
The bed has a lot of random powers. It doesn't explain it.
But you know what power it doesn't have? Teeth.
No, it doesn't have teeth. And then it eats Susan. Everything is crunchy. Now, it saws her head off. Specifically saws her head off with the necklace she's wearing.
With what hands? That's the thing. It's like sentient and it like can pull...
It sucks the necklace, the cross, yeah, into the bed.
But it like pulls and it pushes and it has sentience on how it does things. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
It doesn't make any sense. And then it takes like gifts like the rings and necklaces and gives them to the man behind the painting. For what reason? It doesn't matter.
Trinkets. It's like the Little Mermaid.
I guess.
We gotta talk about the black girl. So she sits on the bed and she has a nightmare too. But she gets like half eaten. And
it has her legs.
Yeah, it has her legs. And because of some, you know, miracle, she ends up like grabbing one of the bedposts and pulling her way out. But when she pulls herself out, there's just like...
Blood coming off of her jeans.
It's fake blood. I mean, clearly. Her pants are fully intact. Her legs are clearly there. But there's blood all over the outside of the pants. And apparently that has rendered her completely...
Paralyzed?
Immobile from the waist down.
So she spends like 5 minutes. Literally, they show this in like...
Yeah, no. In the movie, you think, oh, you might be able to cut... From her being next to the bed, to being next to the stairs, to being halfway up the stairs. No. They show every second of her crawling from the bed across this long room, up a flight of stairs.
Agonizingly slow, making moaning noises the whole time.
There's no music, there's no tension. It's like, what are they trying to accomplish in this scene? Why is it taking so long, and why is there no action? Because as soon as she's up the stairs...
The bed uses its sheets... reaches over, grabs her, and pulls her back into the bed.
Right, the way it should have been done is it's like, oh, I can't move. And she's like moving quickly, trying to hobble her way out or whatever. And she slips up the flight of stairs and she's like reaching for the door. And then the blankets come and they drag her down. It would be like a minute long.
I guess, I get why they had her escape and get pulled back.
But why did it have to be like that long?
I don't know. Because the other girl finally comes back and sees her getting pulled in by the bed. And the seeing of this traumatizes her so much. She just sits in the corner and like...
Cries.
And earlier in the movie, apparently the bed was afraid of her because it had the same eyes as the bed's quote-unquote mother.
Yeah.
But then the bed realized that and was like, I'm no longer afraid.
And so Susan, the last lady, right?
No, Susan was eaten. The last lady, I don't know her name.
Okay. Well, her brother comes and they're like, well, we have to destroy this bed. So no. That he's going to stab it, right?
No. The painting guy goes through past, like, kills, right?
Yeah, and it shows a big orgy scene. I know that.
And there's a really funny scene where they're playing cards and the bed has apparently used its magical powers to write on the cards. And it's like, you are dead.
Ha 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 ha.
And then the guy tries to shoot the bed. He goes, I'm being eaten alive. Bang, bang, bang.
But it's not just like gun. He's like moving the gun at the bed. Bang. And he like moves the gun toward the bed. Like, this is not how guns operate, like, at all. And the sounds of the gunshots aren't synced up at all. It's just very, very poorly done. This is like YouTube.
Going back further and further, you find out about how the bed was created, and the demon eyes shatter. And when it goes into the tree, he's awake, but sometimes he sleeps. Once every 10 years. So that's super important because that's how you kill the bed. So when the demon is asleep...
The once every 10 years.
Yes. You can do this ritual. They're sitting there, and the bed is, like, taunting the brother and sister by rolling this eyeball
over and over. Now, they use the same clip...
And just flip it around.
Right. They just impose it so it's, like, rolling on the left side of the screen, rolling on the right side. And they do it, like, 3 or 4 times.
So the guy, like, tries to kill the bed with a knife, and his hands get sucked in.
Yeah, both hands get sucked into the bed.
They finally get them out, but... All the skin and muscle on the hands has been dissolved.
He's got skeleton hands, y'all. He went full Bobby Bones.
And so they're sitting in the corner, like, what are we gonna do? And then his knuckles...
He's like, staring at his skeleton hands like, I can't feel my fingers.
So his knuckles start falling off, and he goes, you gotta break these off, because I can't just stand here and watch them. It'll drive me mad. So she breaks her...
And she's going like, crack, crack, and like cracking his wrist, trying to pull his hands off. And meanwhile, he's just staring at him because he can't feel shit. All the nerve endings are gone.
Yeah.
It's just literally just skeletons. And by the way, you can tell it's a fucking fake skeleton because you can see the drill marks in the joints where they attached it to a fake skeleton in like a science classroom.
Yeah.
You can see where the holes were drilled in where they connected the joints. It is so bad, y'all. So bad.
While they're taking his hands off, the bed goes to sleep because the demon goes to sleep, so the bed's power is weakened. So the painting can now talk outside of its painting. Now her brother is traumatized because he's bleeding out of his wrist stumps.
Yeah.
And she doesn't say anything. The painting talks to her and he's like, here's how you kill the bed. So she takes her brother, who has no hands, and basically yeets him down this hilly cliff thing.
Just rolls down.
Rolls him down it and sits him down there. And then she goes back and she draws an outline and then she takes a knife and she cuts a line in the floor in quote unquote blood. But basically as she's cutting around the floor, blood just kind of bubbles up. Out of it. And then her life is forfeit. She dies in order to give the bed's mother life. And in order to defeat the bed, the mother and the demon have sex again in the bed. And then the bed dies.
And that, my friends, is the end of our episode of Real Romance. Of these five, what would you say is the best of the five?
The best movie is gotta be Killer Clowns. But my favorite movie was Blood Diner.
I have to agree. I mean, Bigfoot had its moments.
No, it didn't.
It had its moments.
Where?
And Jason X had some fun deaths.
Jason X had some really, really fun deaths. And if you're looking for a movie with just straight fun deaths, that's the way to go. Blood Diner was the funniest.
Blood Diner was the most entertaining for me.
Killer Clowns was the best done, and it was clearly done by a little bit more professional.
No, but you see, you can tell Jason X had the highest budget, though. Like, looking at that movie, you're like, oh, clearly they put some time and effort into the way the CGI was done, into the sets, into the actors. They really genuinely made this a Hollywood movie.
No,
it's just a really poorly done Hollywood
movie. The CGI isn't great, but I feel like...
It was made in 2001.
Yes. That's where, like, they did the best with what they had. And I think they did an okay job. I feel like back then you would have been like, oh, the CGI is okay.
It's just a terrible movie in general.
Yeah, it's just a weak plot.
But yeah, I have to agree. Blood Diner was entertaining as shit. It was really fun, even though it was bad.
Which was the worst movie?
God, The Bed That Eats.
Yeah?
I mean, some of them were bad, but it's just like, it's so poorly done. And the premise is awful. And just the idea that it is a bed that eats people, but it makes crunching noises, but instead it uses acid. And where does the big giant pool of acid come from? It's inside a mattress. This makes no sense.
Let me tell you why Bigfoot is a worse movie than The Bed That Eats. Just hold on.
Okay, I need to hear this.
So The Bed That Eats had a very low budget. You can tell that. And it had no big names anywhere on this project at all.
It's a home movie.
It's a very original story. However, Bigfoot has several big names attached. Not big names, but big enough.
Noticeable names.
It's a movie made by a network that makes lots of science fiction movies, and it's the most unoriginal premise of any of them. Any of the ones we watch, it's the most unoriginal. The Bed That Eats at least they went in, and they went in hard on their premise, and Bigfoot was wishy-washy.
They did commit to the idea of the bed that eats, even if it was poorly conceived and poorly executed and all
Bigfoot
that.
Was too wishy-washy, and they had no idea where they were going.
I think they relied too heavily on puns and they thought, star power, which, by the way, if your star power is Greg from Brady Bunch...
And Danny Bonaduce.
Maybe take a step back.
The Bigfoot relied... They were like, everyone's going to understand these references and think it's so funny, but we didn't.
No. Like, okay, Lavalantula, for instance.
Hilarious. Right?
Those references, I totally got. Michael Winslow doing his voices and things, so funny. I loved it. Steve Guttenberg, it was great.
And obviously, everyone loved Sharknado.
Yeah, there's like six of them. So that was a hit. But this was before Sharknado, so they were throwing all the shit at the wall and hoping something stuck.
That's just where I stand at why The Bed That Eats is slightly better than Bigfoot. It's not a good movie, and I'm not arguing that's a good movie, because it's a very, very bad movie.
Yes.
But that I would not put it last.
And the thing is, like, Blood Diner, a lot of nudity, a lot of death, a lot of really things that call out a bad horror movie. The Bed That Eats has all those same things, but just way poorly executed.
There was no comedy, and there was a lot, and I mean a lot of voiceover.
Yeah, it was just the whole thing, just everyone, dialogue.
Everyone had voiceover.
Wait, no, it wasn't dialogue. It was exposition the whole time.
Every single one of the ladies had voiceover. The bed had kind of weird cackling noises randomly. The dude in the painting just talked a lot.
And it wasn't just like, this is what's happening. It was always like trying to like ebb poetic or something.
He
like,
hated the bed.
They all had to say something profound when really it's just a dumbass movie about a bed eating.
I feel like if the bed had that eats people had leaned harder into a little bit of comedy instead of trying to make this.
Because it's a really funny idea, but they played it so straight. It's like,
it was too straight. Okay,
at least all the other movies know they're a joke. Like, every other...
I don't know. Jason X tried pretty hard to make itself a serious movie.
Yeah. Okay. Jason X aside, the other three, they know it's jokey. And they know it's going to be somewhat ridiculous. So they lean into it. Yeah.
I will say, if you're going to watch any of these movies, I would definitely do Killer Clown and Blood Diner. Killer Clown can be found on Netflix and Blood Diner is on Hulu. That concludes our thoughts. I hope you enjoyed this. This is probably our last theme mini, maybe ever.
Ah, it's not a theme mini. You're right. It's a themed episode. So, starting in 2021, season 3, I think we're going to replace the themed episode like this with the theme mini, which is going to be between 30 and 45 minutes long, and it's going to be a lot more central to an idea or a basic movie trope or something.
Yeah,
and we're going to build around that.
If we're being honest, we don't have enough time to keep all of these going. Because we watch 4 or 5 movies for this, 4 or 5 movies for our new movies, and then all the streaming, plus a theme mini.
Plus any specials. Like, remember we did Chadwick Boseman as a special, and we've done a few different things.
So, we're gonna go down to 3 episodes, and we're going to do a theme mini instead of a theme mini and a theme episode. Because I think the theme minis are funnier.
And I think stream mini is going to kind of evolve into a streamy or a stream mega, because if it's over an hour, we can't really call it a mini episode, right? Correct. Mini implies it's short and consumable in one sitting.
Alright.
But if it's an hour long, then we just can't do that. So we're just going to call it our streaming episode or our streamy or whatever. We might put out a poll and see, you know, kind of bounce some names off of you guys. Speaking of social media, follow us on Twitter, at RealRomanceUCPN. We also have TikTok and an Instagram, at RealRomance. Email us at realromancepod@gmail.com. If you want to follow our individual stuff, I'm at BamfingBob on Twitter. Brittany is at BookNerd528. And for all other related content, go to Undercover Capes on all platforms. Check us out, because there is a lot of really fun stuff. Boom. I think that's it.
All right. We'll talk to y'all later.
And at the end of the day, just remember to keep it real.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Real Romance Podcast, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends.